a watch.
And in addition to Yigal and Michelle sponsoring in memory of Michelle's mother's yard site today, the yearly series is sponsored by Jake and Karen Abelevitz in memory of Jake's parents, Leah Bas Avram and Eliyahu Bas, Eliyahu Ben Abba and Leah Bas Avraham. It's not like I haven't said it a million times. And in the zchus of our learning together, indeed, all the neshamas should have a wonderful zchus of an aliyah, a great merit to their souls. Okay. Today's topic, if you saw the email that I sent out, the topic was entitled Ayin Tachas Ayin. Is it savage brutality or sublime morality? What I'd like to do today is look at the psukim in the Torah, which are in our parsha as well as in Parshas Mishpatim in Sefer Shmos, and look at what is an essential feature of Judaism. It's essential in a few ways, or in a couple of ways. Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, regel tachas regel. It's worded slightly differently in Mishpatim versus our parsha, but it's eye for an eye. And I say that it's essential for one reason that I think will become clear as over the course of this year. But it's also been essential in a negative way, in that it's been used over the centuries as an anti-Semitic cudgel, to attack the Jewish people as brutal people, as savages. The Old Testament is a book of savagery. So it's not a small matter that these psukim are found in the Torah, neither in terms of how they've been used negatively against the Jewish people over the millennia, as well as what they actually mean for us. So I want to take a look at this now, and basically I would like to answer two essential questions. The first question is, we all know, or we all, I believe, we're all aware of the fact that an eye for an eye is understood by Chazal as meaning a money for an eye, right? If you, God forbid, cause injury to another person, if you're in Saudi Arabia and you steal from somebody, I think they cut off your arm, right? So if you cause injury to another person's arm, your arm is not cut off, but rather, according to halacha, you will have to pay a certain amount based on the actuarial charts as to what everything is worth. So the first question I want to tackle is, why do we do this? Why is money a the way the rabbis understood this pasuk? Why don't they understand it simply as it's written in the Torah? Number one. Number two is, if we do, if it is true that ayin tachas ayin means money as what we pay for causing injury, why does the Torah bother to go through this gymnastics of telling us ayin tachas ayin, and then the chachamim have to come around and tell us ayin means kesef, it doesn't mean money, it means money, it doesn't mean the actual, the actual bodily harm. So if this is true, that what Chazal are telling us, that it means money for damage, for bodily damage, so the Torah should just say it. I mean, it's not like it takes that much more or effort to say kesef tachas ayin, kesef tachas shein, kesef tachas regel, kesef tachas chabura, kesef tachas petza. It wouldn't be much harder to do that. Rather, the Torah tells us ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, regel tachas regel, kviya tachas kviya, petza tachas petza, but the whole thing. So those are the two basic questions I would like to address. Why do we have money? And then if money is the answer, why does the Torah bother to tell us in this convoluted way? And then ultimately through this discussion, to hopefully come with a to d derive for us a sort of bigger point that is important for us as Jews to understand what this means, ayin tachasayin, as a value, as an understanding for how we conduct our lives and our morals and our ethics, and how we understand ourselves in the Torah. So it seems like a lot to cover, but I think we can do it in these moments that we have together. So I'm going to share my screen with you, and we'll start with. Okay, we will start with the psukim in the Torah. So the psukim, I'll make it a little bigger. Everybody see it? Okay. The psukim in the Torah begin in our parsha. Ish ki yakeh kol nefesh adam mos yumas. If a person kills another human being, yakeh means to hit, but it means to hit and kill, then the person shall die, right? So if you kill somebody, you get the death penalty.
What pasuk, Rabbi? Excuse me.
24:17. Do you see the screen in front of you?
Oh, Kavda, I can't. It's too small. Yeah. So. Kavda, did you die?
Yeah, I'll try to make it a little bigger.
Okay. No, it's like I have a chumash. I just didn't know which.
Okay. Uma kenefesh behema yishalmena. Now the Torah itself. Whoops. Let's try that again. The Torah itself continues. If ma'ke nefesh behema, if you cause an animal of your neighbor to die, you kill an animal, yishalmena, you pay for it. Nefesh tachas nefesh, a soul for a soul. So here, as it relates to killing an animal, ma'ke nefesh, you kill the animal, the soul of an animal, the lifeblood of an animal. So you have to pay, and the pasuk concludes, nefesh tachas nefesh. This meaning of paying is what we mean when we say, in summary, nefesh tachas nefesh, a life for a life. So here we see that when a person, causes an animal to be killed, we're obviously not going to kill the person, right? And so yishalmena is considered nefesh tachas nefesh. Be'ish ki yitein mum ba'amito. Now, if a person causes bodily injury to another person, kasher asa kenya aselo, as you did to that person, the injury that you caused, that injury should be done back to the attacker. Whatever was done to the victim should be done to the propagator of the evil. Shever tachas shever. Right, so if it's a broken bone, a fracture, a broken bone, shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, eye for an eye, shein tachas shein, tooth for a tooth. In mishpatim, we have regel tachas regel, chabura tachas chabura, etc. Kasher yitein mum ba'adam, ken yinasein bo. Whatever blemish, whatever imperfection you caused to the other person, that's what the attacker should get. That's what the attacker should get, whatever he did to the victim. Umake behema yishalmena, and then this section concludes: if you killed an animal, you should pay. Umake adam yumas, but if you killed a person, you get the death penalty. Okay, so here you have it in the psukim, and Rashi immediately comments, says, you know what? Look at this language over here. Look at the language. Thought I could highlight it, but I guess I can't. But look at the language over here where my cursor is. Ka'asher yitain mum ba'adam. You see that? As you give yitain mum ba'adam, ken yinatain bo, so should be given to you. This language of to give sort of has an implication of giving something, right? We said earlier, kasher asa ken yase, as the perpetrator did to his victim, so should be done to the perpetrator. So that makes sense. That's ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, in its literal understanding. Yet, the pasuk concludes, as was given to the victim, so shall be given. Now, when we talk about giving something, it sounds like you put something in your hand and you give it. That's what the meaning of you know, sort of the plain meaning of that word is. So Rashi, citing Chazal, says, Persha Rabboseinu, She'eno nesinas mum mamish. This is not giving an actual blemish. Ela tashlume mamon, but we're giving, the perpetrator gives money instead. Shaminoso ke'eved, we put him on the actuarial charts and find out how much, it was worth. And that's why the Torah uses the language of natan to give. Davar hanatun miyad liyad means something which you give from one person's hand to another. So the language of the text itself already reflects what Chazal tell us it means. And that's what, that's Chazal's interpretation. But in other words, they're not just pulling it out of thin air. What they're not saying is, at least, Rashi's excerpt, and if you look at the Gemara in Ksubas and the Gemara in Bava Kamma, there's a lot written in those pages over there regarding how to understand Ayin Tachasayin. But my point here is that the language of the text itself already undoes the meaning of the text. The text itself. But what Rashi Chazal are not telling us is that the text is that there's some type of moral code here. You know, we are too refined to do an eye for an eye. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that there's a textual exegesis here. There is a textual interpretation that tells us that it's an eye for an eye means money. But it's not saying that there's some type of moral superiority or a moral refinement. Now, maybe that's true, but that's not the argument that is necessarily made. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. Okay, we'll take that now as a given that Ayin Tachasayin is indeed not an eye for an eye, but it is a financial remuneration for causing this damage. The Chizkuni, however, and much of what Rashi is saying in the Chizkuni and other of these Rishonim are saying is either straight from the Gemara or is excerpted or is interpreted. But a lot of it is, already in Chazal. So the Chizkuni says the following. Pirish Rashi, he first cites Rashi. I'm going to make this, I'm going to try to pull this up actually on another screen here. Hold on a second. Might be easier to see it this way. Maybe not. We'll see. Okay. Let's go up over here. So, the Chizkuni, I'm hoping this makes it a little easier, especially if you want to see the English. Chizkuni starts by citing Rashi. Eino nesinas mum mamish, ela tashlumei mamon, v'chein hadin nosein. It says, Rashi tells us it means money. He says, V'chein hadin nosein. And he said, this is entirely logical. What's the sort of the logic, the reasoning behind this? So, im hachovel rishon below kavana, ein yicholes lasos lo shever o chavala b'shove. He says, you know what? It makes sense that we do money instead of an eye for an eye. Because in many instances, it would be really impossible to figure out what's the appropriate eye for an eye here, right? I mean, it's not necessarily apples to apples. Let's say, for example, you have 20/20 eyesight and I don't. So is it an eye for an eye? If God forbid I cause you damage and then my eye gets taken out, you had 20/20 eyesight. I didn't. So is that an eye for an eye? In other words, If we want to think about this, really doing a mida keneged mida, an eye for an eye, it makes sense that we have to take it out of the physical and rather put financial remuneration, because you cannot really, honestly, in many cases, do an eye for an eye. Once you can't do an eye for an eye, then maybe it just becomes barbarism. The Odin, furthermore, im hachavala b'makom mesukan hare yamos. So not only that, let's say we do for an eye for an eye, and we take out the perpetrator's eye, and then he gets an infection, and then he dies. Right? So was that an eye for an eye? That's a lot worse. Let's say, you know, the person causes the perpetrator causes the victim some type of, you know, some he damages an organ. And now the person doesn't die from that damaged organ, but then when we take out this person's organ, this person dies as a consequence. So, you know, even just trying to execute this properly, it's, you know, it can lead to an imbalanced and unfair and an immoral punishment, an immoral consequence. So we have two reasons, says the Chizkuni so far, or two ways of looking at this that make a financial remuneration not the logical thing to do, and maybe even the moral thing to do. But you know what the Chizkuni doesn't say? The Chizkuni does not say that Ayin Tachas Ayin is inherently savage or brutal. He's saying that from a practical perspective, we can't really execute it and implement it in a fair way, which would therefore be moral, you know. But it's not the moral consideration. You know, I think that if I would, if I would take a poll and go around and just ask everybody on the shir, or, you know, if you just take a poll of, 4 out of 5 dentists say, right? You know, is Ayin Tachas Ayin inherently brutal and savage? I think it would probably be 5 out of 5. People would say it's brutal and it's savage and it's not right. And that's why Chazal tell us, that's why the Torah already implies, remember the language of Yinatein, the Torah already implies financial remunerations because it's brute savagery. But that's not actually what the Torah says. And it's not certainly what these Rishonim that we just looked at, it's not what they what they seem to be suggesting. Okay, I'm going to share my screen with you again. Let's go on to the Chizkuni. Chen gabe ayin, when it comes to an eye for an eye, mishachasar shlishis me'ar einav shal chaveiro eno yachal asos lachovel. Like I said before, one person has 20/20 vision and one person has 20/60. It's not commensurate. Oim chovel ha'ayin yi'iver mayasu lo lefikach divrei raboseinu emes. Or what happens if the person who's the perpetrator themselves is blind? So is that an eye for an eye? The perpetrator is blind. He takes out the eye of his victim. And now we say an eye for an eye, and we take out the eye of the blind person. The blind person couldn't use his eye anyway. So is that...
Yeah, what is a chovel?
What?
What's a chovel? How do you translate chovel?
The person who causes damage.
Oh, okay.
From the word chavala. Okay, so right. So if a person causes the perpetrator, who himself is blind, and now he gets his eye plucked out, is that an eye for an eye? I don't think so. So therefore, Chizkuni says, "Lafikach." Therefore, Divrei Rabbi Seinu Emes, the rabbis are speaking truth when they interpret the pasuk as financial remuneration rather than an eye for an eye. V'im bal hadin yachlok lo mariam hachovel ani mayasu lo. So he says, and what if the aggrieved party should take issue by arguing that he's not to blame, that the person who had gouged out one of his eyes had only a single eye, and that he insists on the literal application of the, you know, of the pasuk, right? What he wants eye for an eye. So he's told that the Torah was written to address normal situations, not exceptional situations, because if it had intended to provide it as a text for every imagined contingency, the Torah would be far too long. Moreover, even assuming after the exceptions the Torah sometimes made for a person's financial circumstances, this would not necessarily be fair, as who knows when a person is poor today and may not become rich the next week. The overriding consideration for compensation, if a life had been taken deliberately, is spelled out by the Torah. Taking a life is absolutely inadmissible. Individual limbs, however, are subject to the judge's evaluation. So, in other words, if a bal din yachlok lomar, if the aggrieved party, the victim, you know, says, I don't understand. You know, it's not fair for X, Y, Z reasons. He's poor, or you know, whatever it is. So, you know, we have a uniform rule for all. But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to point out here, what I hope is beginning to become clear, is that it's not a moral consideration. And that is, I think, somewhat troubling. Because I think intuitively, we all feel that it's, you know, an eye for an eye is a little bit rough. You know, it's a little tough. And so what does that mean about us? What does it mean about our morality or our ethics? Am I more moral than the Torah? Right? So, I'm sorry?
Rabbi, may I ask? But if a person kills another person, he is killed.
Right. That is absolute. Right? That's absolute. That if a person takes a life, right? So then there is, you know, a life versus life. There's capital punishment for that. And that's equal. Nobody's life is more important or valuable than anybody else's life. But your 20/20 eyesight might be more valuable than somebody else's, you know, blind eye. So it's commensurate. It's commensurate when we say that there's a death penalty. There is, you know, maybe you like the death penalty, you don't like the death penalty, but at the end of the day, from a moral philosophical perspective, no one person's life, I mean, from Judaism's perspective, you know, my life isn't more important than yours, and yours isn't more important than mine. Everybody's life has equal and infinite value. So, you know, if a person kills and removes an infinite value, then his infinite value. So it is commensurate. I don't think that poses, it might pose other moral questions, but it doesn't pose this moral question. Right? But when it comes for ayin tachas ayin, Torah says, you know what? You should take out a person's eye. But, you know, for practical reasons, it's not always so doable, so we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do finances. Which means that the essential morality is that it's okay to pluck out the other person's eye, and my assumption is that most people would find that distasteful, and morally problematic. Hold on a second. Michelle says it makes me think of the Merchant of Venice and the Pound of Flesh. Okay, yeah. Right, so let's go on. The Al-Sheikh takes another tack here. The Al-Sheikh, another Rishon, says Lomar da Efo ki ein hachomer nechshav be'erech hanefesh. Ki halo, one second. Yeah, ki halo hachomer ein chashivuto lamala me'erech shivui mamon. Let's pick it up from here. Kol Eila. All of these things, l'ma shehem evare hachomer, ein chilufam ela mamon. Right? All of these things that we talk about, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, so we have financial remunerations, as is pointed out in the Gemara, beferish. V'lo yinakru, and you don't poke out the person's eye. So he says right here by my cursor, V'lama lo yihye ha'ever tachas ha'ever mamish. Why don't we say ayin tachas ayin, like we do by a soul for a soul, for a life for a life? Ella, listen to his answer, Have omer, ki ein hachomer nechshav rak kishave kesef ba'alma, ki kol ha'evarim ke'avde ha'nefesh. He basically says that the body is not, the body parts are not essential to the person. Ki kol ha'evarim ke'avdei ha'nefesh. They are servants of the soul, servants of the life. But, you know, the life is the life. The finger is just supporting. It's a supporting actor. And therefore, if we say nefesh tachas nefesh, the infinite soul for the infinite soul, so that's of equal, you know, that's equal. So nefesh tachas nefesh. But you can't say that a person's arm is the equivalent to their essential life. It's an appendage. It's an accoutrement. But it doesn't define the person. And therefore, for a person to an ayin tachas ayin, it makes sense that we put money instead, because money is can be assigned an arm can be assigned a value. A life cannot be assigned a value. And so therefore, the Al Sheikh says, the reason that we do money for a life is because, money for a, ayin tachas ayin is money, is because that can be assigned a value. A life cannot be assigned a value. So, but again, what the Al Sheikh is not saying is that there's something inherently immoral about ayin tachas ayin. He doesn't take it from a moral argument. Okay, so I want to suggest then, therefore, that what is problematic for us to think about is number one, ayin tachas ayin does not seem to be morally problematic in the Torah, despite what I think many people would say. And number two, the reasons, or part of that, and the reasons that we say money instead of capital corporal punishment is for all types of technical reasons. So what does it mean? What is the... Can one make the case that ayin tachas ayin is a moral value? Is it really a moral value? I mean, it's hard to say that. Barbara, you have a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, but they harm somebody and injures his arm, let's say, and he's a wagon driver, and then he can't work, and he becomes very poor. So ani nechshav kemeis. So what do you say then?
Right.
Because
if you embarrass somebody, it's considered like killing them. Just like if you embarrass somebody, Beis Din cannot give you the death penalty. Similarly, even if you cause somebody to become poor, Beis Din cannot give you the death penalty for that. Hashem might take exact punishment, Misa Bidei Shamayim, but it's not exactly apples to apples. When we talk about the death penalty, that's for actual death. But so I want to pivot now and move to to the question of if this is what ayin tachas ayin actually means, the question then becomes, why does if money is being used, why do we bother to say ayin tachas ayin altogether? Why do we bother to say ayin tachas ayin altogether? Just say kesef tachas ayin, etc. I'm sharing my screen with you now, and I want to show you. Here we go. Take a look here. This is the Rambam in his. Share my screen with you again. Try it again. What's going on here? Okay, I think this fixed the problem. Okay, let's try it again. All right, the Rambam in his Mishneh Torah, Book of Jewish Law, the Mishneh Torah, writes the following: Minayin shezen emar be'evarim ayin tachas ayin tashluminhu. How do we know, in fact, that we replace money rather than a limb for a limb? How do you know that? Shenemar bo, in the same pasuk that it says ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye, it says chabura tachas chabura, A blemish for a blemish, a wound for a wound. Ubeferush nemar v'chiyake ish esreyehu be'evin uve'egro v'raf shivto yitev v'rapo yirapay. And the pasuk in Shmos tells us that if one strikes another one with a stone or with a fist, he has to pay for the man's loss of time for his, you know, for his job, and to see that he's thoroughly restored to health. Shivto yitain v'rapo yirapay. Halamadita, so you see. Shetachas, when it says the word tachas, chabura tachas chabura, a wound for a wound, the Torah tells us explicitly, tashlumen, it means payment. So just like tachas chabura means financial remuneration, and it doesn't mean a wound for a wound literally. So when it says tachas in place of an eye for an eye, an eye in place of an eye, a leg in place of a leg, a hand in place of a hand, when it says tachas in place of in all those cases, just like in the case of chabura tachas chabura, it means explicitly financial remuneration for that wound, so to all the other cases where it says tachas, it means financial remuneration for causing the other organ damage. So that's what the Rambam says. And again, this is the Rambam and all these other Rishonim that we saw. A lot of it is based on the Talmud. Now the Rambam adds the following: V'afalpi shedvarim elu niro me'inyan Torah shebichtav. And even though this is all apparent from a careful reading of the written text, v'chulan mefurashin hein, and these are all explained mipi Moshe Rabbeinu Misinai, Mehar Sinai. This is all explained for Moshe at Har Sinai. So it's in the text, right? We have this interpretation. We have this, exegesis that we can say that the pasuk means finances rather than a limb for a limb. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, read this carefully. Kulan halacha lemoshe. Hain biadenu. These are all considered halacha lemoshe misinai. Halacha lemoshe misinai is a very deliberate language of the Rambam. It is a very specific kind of law in the Torah. It's not just any oral law. Halacha lemoshe misinai means, continuing in the Rambam, v'chazeh ro avotenu danin b'veiz dino shel Yehoshua u'b'veiz dino shel Shmuel haramati. And like this, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, halacha l'Moshe Misinai, this is a teaching, a tradition that was given to Moshe and handed down generation to generation, regardless of what it says in the Torah. And this is something which can never be interpreted away. And similarly, our ancestors understood this in the Beis Din of Yehoshua, in the Beis Din of Shmuel HaNavi, in every Beis Din in Sanhedrin down the ages, this is how it is always understood. That's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Excuse me one second, I'm just going to... A little allergies there. Okay, so the Rambam tells us that this is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. It's incontrovertible. So the question then becomes, if this is halacha l'Moshe Misinai, why? Why doesn't the Torah just tell us? Kesef tachas kesef, shein tachas, kesef tachas shein, regel kesef tachas regel. What's the meaning of this? So, scroll down here. The Sforno attempts to answer this question in his commentary when he says, Ayin tachas ayin, this is what ought to be the judgment against the offender. You know why it doesn't say kesef tachas ayin? Is because in an ideal world, we should do limb for limb, ayin tachas ayin. That would be the true value, the true moral, the true compensation, the true punishment. That's really what we should do. Mipnei chesaron hasha'aroteinu. He says it straight out. You know why we don't do ayin tachasayin? Just because it is difficult to accurately measure, you know, apples to apples amongst people. Wow. So it means that the true morality here, that the Torah does not consider it barbarism. The Torah does not consider it barbarism. It does not consider it savagery. The Torah considers it justice. And the only reason that we don't do it is for technical reasons, but not for moral ones. I think that's a big challenge. That's a big challenge for us to think that this is the Torah's morality. Like I said, 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed, I would guess, would tell you that that they would find this to be morally problematic, and that's why the rabbis reinterpret it. But it's not a reinterpretation of the rabbi, says the Rambam. This is what Hashem meant, you know, halacha l'moshe misinai. So why, if this is the halacha, why go through this rigmarole? So take a look at what the Maharal says here in the Gur Aryeh. Do I have it in English? No, I only have it in the Hebrew here. Maharal says the following. Let's see here. Lama, right here where my cursor is. Everybody see that? Lama lo kasva haTorah. He asked the question straight out. Not even an implied question. He asks it explicitly. Lama lo kasva haTorah yishalim lo yado o yishalim lo yado o mumo beferosh. Why doesn't the Torah say you should pay explicitly? Ve'ein zekasha. No question. Why? She'im kasav kach. Hayisi Omer, had the Torah written in Kesef Tachas Yad, Kesef Tachas Regel, Keches Tachas Kvia, etc., I would have thought Sheim Harag Behemto Veshilem Lo, Potter, Veshuv Ein Lo Alav Onesh, just like when a person kills his neighbor's animal, so you pay him, and that's it, you're done. Have Amina, I might have thought, Shim Shilem Alav Dmei Yado, Potter Mikol Vakol. I might have thought that if I pay you for the bodily damage that I caused you, that's it. It's done. I have fulfilled my obligations. The Ein Hadavar came, but that's not the case. Sha'af Al Pisha Shilem Lo Dmei Chavala Shalo, even though I've paid you what I owe you, eno niftar hemenu. I am not. There's no dispensation here. Yivakesh mimenu mechila v'yimcholo. I still have to ask you forgiveness. I cannot pay my way out of my debt to you. I caused you bodily damage, and you think I could just pay it off? No. When we, and this is as Rav Soloveitchik explained it, if I think that I can just pay my way out, I've missed the true morality here. When I deprive a person of their ability to use their hand, this is not just a limb on an actuarial chart. The actuarial chart tells me how much to pay, but it doesn't tell me how to atone for my sin. The only way I can atone for my sin, ultimately, is for you to forgive me. Because the koach of the yad, the power of the hand to create, to produce, the koach haregel, the power of the foot to help me walk, this is not just a technical question. This, as opposed to what the Al-Sheikh said earlier, this really goes to who I am as a person. When a person is unable to use their hand, okay, Baruch Hashem, today we have ways of compensating for that. But it was also in a certain amount, in a certain perspective, an immeasurable damage that we've caused. Yes, it is much deeper than that. You know, I am reminded of, you know, after the Shoah, World War II, and with the reconstitution of the German Republic, the Democratic Republic of Germany, before Germany was reunited in the mid 1980s or early 1990s, right? There was the East Germany and West Germany. Anyway, so you may recall that that West Germany was going to pay reparations, compensation to victims and their families of the Shoah, of the Holocaust. And this was a huge, huge debate. It almost caused a civil war in Israel. Menachem Begin gave a fiery, powerful speech after which, you know, people stormed the Knesset. One of the reasons that David Ben-Gurion and Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres and a whole host of other people really, you know, considered Menachem Begin to be like the lowest of the low. An irredeemable, a deplorable, if you will. But the reason that there was such a powerful debate and passions flared was partly, I think, can be explained by the German word for the reparations. And if I recall it correctly, the word is Reichsgericht, which means to correct a wrong. There is no correcting that wrong. You might be able to pay compensation to, as some measure of punishment or consequence for doing this terrible deed, but you cannot correct that wrong through payment. $100, $1 million, $1 billion will never be a Reichsgericht, if I'm saying the word correctly. It will not correct that wrong. The evil has been done. Now, of course, and I think that is why passions flared so strongly. My grandfather, who Baruch Hashem came to this country before the Shoah, before World War II, but you know, his family was wiped out. And he never tried to get any compensation money from Germany. He wouldn't take a dime. Wouldn't even think of it. Because there is no compensating for this. And I believe this is what the Rav was saying. I believe this explains what the Maharal here, the Gur Aryeh, is saying. You think, just like if you kill an animal, you can pay, and it's done. That's true. You think it's the same thing with a human being? I don't mean killing. You can deprive them of the use of their arm, of their organ, of their eye, of their hand, of their foot. You can just pay and move on? No. This is far deeper. That act is an unconscionable act. An act of infinite causation or infinite consequence goes to the essential character of what a person is able to be, and the dignity of a human being. You rob them of that dignity? Okay, so there's an actuarial chart. $100 is $100. You think that covers it? No way. So when the Torah says ayin tachas ayin and shein tachas shein, the Torah is not simply saying, and then hinting to us to do it by finances. The Torah is not simply saying, well, we have a technical problem. We can't figure out exactly, you know, what ayin tachas ayin is. It's a technical problem. The real morality is chop the guy's hand off. That sounds savage. What the Torah is saying is that in reality, you deserve to have your hand chopped off. Because what you did, there's no amount of money that can make it right. In the same breath, Halacha al-Moshe Mi-Sinai, The Torah says, you know, we're not savage. You do it through money. You do it through money. But don't think for a second that that money is equal to what you did. Ayin tachas ayin. Shein tachas shein. Regel tachas regel. Kviya tachas kviya. What you did has no, cannot be undone. And the only way you can gain atonement, as the Maharal says, is if you get forgiveness from the person to whom you have done it. All the money in the world will not change that. So if the first half of this year, it seemed as though ayin tachas ayin is the true morality, brutal savagery is the real morality, and just for technical reasons, we don't do it. What we're suggesting now, the Maharal and Rav Soloveitchik, is that no, the true morality really is financial remuneration. But you shouldn't think that that is actually compensating for what you've done. Ayin tachas ayin can never be properly done through money. And that's why it says ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. The only way to get atonement is through asking and getting true mechila. But this is an inordinate evil which one has done an inordinate consequence, an immeasurable consequence which one has done by depriving another person of this. There is a book, I think I've mentioned it before, called Freakonomics. And in this book, these two economists talk about how financial incentives and disincentives work all the time to, you know, get people to do different things. And if you don't understand the financial incentive or disincentives, you can put all types of policies in place and you're not going to be getting to, you know, to the core of it. So and my favorite example of this is that there was a school system in Chicago that was, the parents were coming 15 minutes late every day, and they wanted to make sure that the parents were going to come on time. So they said, if parents come late, it's going to be a $25 fine. And you know what happened after they made that policy announcements? The number of late pickups multiplied by some inordinate amount, some exponential figure. And more parents came late, and they came later. Why? Because what they realized is that they were incentivizing the parents to pick up the kids late. For $25, I have free babysitting service, right? Or not free, but I have easy babysitting service, right? Here it is. Now I have paid for it. I've paid for it, so they're going to watch my kid. That's exactly the type of sort of perverse thinking. I mean, not perverse, but, you know, the type of thinking that the Torah is trying to avoid. You think that you can just pay your way out of this? No. Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, regel tachas regel. It's something much deeper, more profound, what you have done. And never forget that. Yes, we're going to do it through financial remunerations because the reasons that we pointed out make it, in fact, immoral to do it, to do it otherwise. But don't think that that somehow is a fair deal. I want to conclude with something from Rav Soloveitchik. Kol dodi dofek. Actually, I'll conclude with that. I want to go to the psukim and point and show you how the psukim themselves already intimate this duality here. Ayin tachas ayin is important for the person to know, but money is also the way to go. Look at the pasuk here. Ish ki yakeh kol nefesh adam mos yumas. If you kill somebody, you get the death penalty. Umakeh nefesh behema yishal menu. And if you kill an animal, so nefesh tachas nefesh, you pay. That's how it is with animals. The ish ki tein mum babito. If you cause bodily damage, bodily harm, kasher asa kenya aselo. Really, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to get this. What you did is what you're supposed to get. So in one breath, the Torah is saying, kasher, exactly what you did is what you deserve. Shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. That's what you deserve. That is indeed what you deserve. But in the same breath, the Torah now concludes the same pasuk. Kasher yitein mum ba'adam, kein yinasein bo. Umakeh behema yishalmena. That just as you gave nitina, remember? Nitina means something in the hand. Just as you did this nisina, you caused a mum. Kein yinatein bo, this should be, you know, handed back to you. What does it mean, handed back to you? So this is what we saw earlier, through financial. That's something in the hand that you give to the person. Or similarly, remember we saw in the psukim in Mishpatim that it says over there straight out, chabura tachas chabura, a wound for a wound, and it says straight out, yishalmena. It says shivto yitein v'rapo yirapay. You have to pay the value of his lost time. A chabura tachas chabura means financial. So just like it means financial over there, ayin tachas ayin also means financial. So the words of the psukim themselves both indicate both. Both are important. It's important to know that shein tachas shein is a terrible thing to do, and that's really what we deserve. If we understand the depth of the consequences of what we've done, but in the same token, yishalmenu, we're not going to do it that way because maybe for moral reasons it doesn't make sense to do it that way. Because if it's not apples to apples, then it's not a moral judgment. So what makes it moral now is to do it through financial remuneration. So if we asked ourselves at the beginning of the shiur two fundamental questions, right? We said, why money instead of actual ayin tachas ayin? We explain that. And if it is money, financial remuneration, why does the Torah bother to tell us ayin tachas ayin? Just say kesef tachas ayin. And I believe that we now have explained that as well. And by looking at these two perspectives, we can appreciate that ayin tachas ayin does not make us into brutal savages, but it does tell us actually it holds us to a higher level of morality, because ayin tachas ayin is not separate from the financial. They come together as a pair. Know how terrible it is what you've done, but also know that the way we are going to emit the punishment is through something which is moral. But never forget that does not absolve you it does not pay off your crime, as it were. All right, I want to conclude with something from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik wrote in his Kol Dodi Dofek, it's an essay, and he talks about the Jewish people in the state of Israel in our time. So listen to what Rav Soloveitchik writes. Here it is. I have it in the English. He talks about six knocks at the door. The fifth knock of the beloved is perhaps the most important. For the first time in the annals of our exile, divine providence has amazed our enemies with outstanding discovery that Jewish blood is not cheap. If the anti-Semites describe this phenomenon as being an eye for an eye, we will agree with them. The Rav says, it's true, an eye for an eye is to be taken with. The anti-Semites say an eye for an eye, that this is what we mean. He says, I will agree with them. If we want to courageously defend their continued national and historical existence, we must from time to time interpret the verse of an eye for an eye literally. So many eyes were lost in the course of our bitter exile because we did not repay hurt for hurt. The time has come for us to fulfill the simple meaning of an eye for an eye. Of course, I'm sure everyone recognizes that I am an adherent of the oral law, and from my perspective, there's no doubt that the verse refers to monetary restitution as defined by the halacha. However, with respect to the Mufti and Nasser, it's going back 50 years, I would demand that we interpret the verse in accordance with its literal meaning, the actual taking of an eye. In other words, real revenge. Pay no attention to the saccharine suggestions of known assimilationists and of some Jewish socialists who stand pat in their rebelliousness and think that they are still living in Bialystok, Brest-Litovsk, Minsk in the year 1905, and openly declare revenge is forbidden to the Jewish people in any place, at any time, and under all circumstances. Hevel Havalim, that is vanity of vanities. Revenge is forbidden when it is pointless, but if one is aroused thereby to self-defense, it is the most elementary right of man to take this action, to take this revenge. So what's Rav Soloveitchik saying here? I mean, he's not denying that the Torah Sheba'al Peh is Ayin Tachas Ayin means money. So, you know, how does he have it both ways? How does he have it both ways? It should be taken literally when it comes to the Mufti and to Nasser. So I think he's really making the same point in a certain way that we said before by the Maharal and talking about, you know, Ayin Tachas Ayin versus money in the Torah. That there is a value here of understanding Ayin Tachas Ayin is something that can never be, that is a consequence that is cannot be measured. Can't be measured. And so when, you know, anti-Semites and those over the ages, you know, have viewed Jewish blood as cheap, so Rav Soloveitchik says, there's a value here. They have to understand that there is an immeasurable value that they have cheapened. And so Ayin Tachas Ayin, there is a meta value here, making us understand that not just a whole life is immeasurable, but even a pinky is immeasurable. And it is on that sort of philosophical basis, not a halachic basis, but on that philosophical basis that Rav Soloveitchik says, we have to hold these people accountable. Because if we don't hold them accountable, then they are missing the whole point of what Ayin Tachas Ayin really is. It's not just simply about withholding a harsh punishment. It's about our understanding that the initial act that was done shouldn't be minimized. People think that it's just an arm, it's just a leg, it's just an eye, I can pay for it. Then we're missing the inordinate value that this has for a human being. So he says, a Nasser, a Hitler, a Mufti of Jerusalem, they look at a Jewish pinky or a whole life like a pinky, and at a pinky as what as not having great value. So does Ayin Tachas Ayin give us a sense of pride in our morality or a sense of shame? I would argue that Ayin Tachas Ayin gives us a sense of great pride, both in terms of what the morality of what that teaches us and the way in which we actually execute the punishment. And we should not be afraid, and we should not back down when people say, the Torah says Ayin Tachas Ayin, you're brute savages. I think the answer is, Ayin Tachas Ayin, you should only be so lucky. All right. Folks, any comments or questions before we head out?
Yes, if you don't mind, I was just thinking about, throughout the whole Torah, whenever Hashem takes an